Well, this morning, I'm going to share a scripture that I was, let's say, refreshed upon by one of my patients at Moffitt Cancer Center. He is an amazing guy. Probably stood about, when he could stand, maybe like 4'10". And he was blind. And he had a rare form of cancer that I think he'd been battling for many, many years. But he was always the happiest and brightest person you'd ever find. And he was always wanting to be encouraging. And when I would visit him, he asked for me to read this particular scripture. And just to see his excitement and the way he would reflect and resonate with some of the words in this text made it come alive in a new way for me that day. And listen to the words of God from Joshua verses 1 through 9 in chapter 1. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this day that we can hear your word and that it can be a new and special message for us today. Even if we've read this before, Lord, that it would touch us in new ways and have impact in our lives as we learn more about you and ourselves and our relationship with you and each other. We ask for your blessing on all that we hear and all that is said today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Joshua, this book, comes right after Moses has been leading the Israelites for years and years, trying to get to this promised land that they aren't going to get to during Moses' lifetime. That was the promise, because they had made mistakes and God got mad at them, basically, and said that, Moses, you're not going to get there. And a lot of the people who were first on this journey didn't get there. Their ancestors would be the ones who would go to this promised land. And now we're to that point in the story, and Joshua is now going to be the one taking over for Moses as the leader. So hear from Joshua, the word of God. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Moses has been this leader for years and years and years. and has performed miracles and has seen God in person and talked to God in person, has come down from the mountain glowing yet from being in God's presence. And Joshua is the one who is responsible for replacing this great man. You think he may have been a little intimidated? May have been a little bit worried that he couldn't fill the shoes of this amazing leader? And the other part that I think would be extremely hard would be to be the person who is finally going to lead the people into the promised land. That's something that this great leader, Moses, never ever did in decades of leadership with these people. And now you are the one who's going to do this. And if you think about this, these are not unoccupied places that they're going. There are people that are already living there. And God is telling them, you are going to go and you are going to live in all of these places and they're going to be yours. So it's not like they were just settling, you know, new land that had never been settled in before. So Joshua is told three different times in this just short 9 verses to be strong and be courageous. So as the story goes, if you read the rest of the book of Joshua, basically it's him living out this promise from God that you're going to take over this land and all of the amazing ways that they accomplish that task. And God is very, very present in all of that effort of moving into these lands and occupying them for the people of Israel. So Joshua lives into that. He takes on that courage and that bravery. Now going back to my patient who was reading this particular scripture and he had it memorized. Because as I was reading, he was saying all of the words at the same time. And I don't know all the things that had gone on in this particular man's life. I don't know all the things that he was thinking or feeling. I knew some of the facts that he definitely had many, many medical issues in his life, many different physical challenges that he had to take on. I don't know much beyond that because I only met him for just brief periods of time. But I think this is a scripture that is really, really important for each of us to hold tightly. Because if you think about it, has God ever made a promise to you personally? Has he ever given you anything with the expectation that you were going to take that challenge on? That you are going to be able to handle that responsibility. I think a simple one to think about is any of you have ever had children? Just raise your hand if you've been a parent ever. Okay, so a good chunk of you have done this, right? Was that a task that you went into with no concern, complete confidence? Absolutely not. You're probably scared out of your mind, especially the first hours that you were responsible for that little life trying to take care of that baby, right? One of the things that we all have in common is a promise of eternal life with Jesus Christ. And hopefully, if you're here today, that's one of the main reasons you're here is because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, that can take some courage and some strength as well. And it's not easy to trust that things that we do not see, oftentimes for most of us, we've never had God actually speak directly to us, right? Have any of you ever had God speak directly to you? Some people have experienced that, but most of us have not. So we are having to be pretty courageous in accepting something that seems on the surface crazy. The idea that a man was God, somehow is the Son of God, lived on this earth for 33 years, and had all of these followers, was crucified, dead, and somehow came back to life, and is now still living with God in eternity. And somehow, I'm not going to go into the whole exploration of how the Trinity exists with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. But that those are things that are courageous to follow, because it's not easy to understand, but yet there's something that is worth the risk of making that leap of faith. Right? Or none of you would probably be here today if you weren't either believing it or at least extremely curious about it. One of the mottos at Moffitt Cancer Center is right around the word courage. And they talk about people's stories and how when you get a cancer diagnosis, and this is one of the things I often talk to people about, what do you closely associate with the word cancer? Anybody? Death? Yeah. It's oftentimes you think of it as a death sentence. It scares you because all of a sudden you realize, I'm not going to live forever, and I may die soon, and I may die not a great death either with this particular disease. So right away, you are being called to have courage to face the fact that you could die and may die. And in some cases, you will have a cancer that there are no treatments that can stop its progression, and you will die in a certain amount of time. And on the other hand, on the other side of that, there takes courage to go to a doctor and put your trust in that particular person to give you lots and lots of treatments that are going to hurt you but may get you better. In the world, my hope is in, I don't know, maybe 10 years, however long, we can look back and we'll say, boy, those treatments that we used to give people were so cruel because they put people through so much. Because I'm hoping there will be something that is a lot less hard on people and works a lot better. That's not the reality yet. There's lots of research working toward that. But a lot of these treatments, I mean, even if you just go through surgery, if anyone's had surgery, that's no walk in the park, and no one ever wants to do it because it hurts. And there's usually a pretty large amount of time where it takes to recover and get your body back up functioning again. And the other part of that is people oftentimes are afraid, if I go into surgery, am I ever going to wake up again? Because you're, again, putting your trust in the hands of these anesthesiologists and surgeons and all that. But we've come to accept, for most people, that they are professionals. They know what they're doing. The odds are very good that we're going to come through this. And the other part of these treatments that we go through is we want to live, right? Most people don't want to die. So you're willing to take some chances with some treatment. So you're going to go through a chemotherapy. You might go through some radiation treatments. You might go through a surgery. You might go through immunotherapy, which is some newer treatments. And some of these things are going to be kind of hard to go through. And one of the things that often can happen is these can be quite the spiritual journeys for people. If you think about your faith and your presence, the presence of God in your life, that's a place where you can draw encouragement, courage, strength, but also peace. For many people, I think the hardest part to face is not all of the treatments and all of the things that are coming with it. It's actually facing the fact that you are going to die. As a chaplain, that's one of the things that is really in our prerogative. Our area of expertise, our willingness to go there, so to speak, more so than almost any doctor or a nurse or anybody who's related to the team, because people don't want to talk about dying. And in reality, you may not want to hear about it this morning, but it's okay. You can not like me, and I'm okay with that. Not like the topic, and I'm okay with that. We can come to it with confidence and courage because we know we have a Savior that will take us through whatever it is we are going to encounter, including death. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ who is going to be with us throughout whatever we encounter in this life. Whether we do get sick, whether we don't get sick and we just continue to get older and we go through the challenges of growing older each day. And I think everyone who's getting older knows exactly what I'm talking about. Those things aren't easy either. Every decade, you face more things where your body is not doing what it used to do, and it gets a little frustrating. But yet, you have courage because you know that God has a presence with you in all that. And the other part is that as people go through their wondering, why do I have this cancer? They're searching for some kind of meaning or purpose in it. Because you might ask the question, why is God doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this particular cancer diagnosis or this in my life? And in reality, I can't answer that question for people. You have to search for meaning in a much deeper level than probably what you can see on the surface. And for some people, they will say, you know what, God has a plan. I'm going to trust in God's will. This doesn't make sense to me. I seem like I'm suffering immensely. But yet I know that God loves me, and that God loves my family, and that I'm going to understand this, but until then, I'm probably going to stay upset about it, or I'm just going to have to let it go because it's something I can't control. And I think as far as courage goes and strengths, identifying the things you can control and the things you can't is really, really important. Can we control everything that happens in the lives of our loved ones to keep them safe, to keep them disease-free, to keep them from car accidents and things like this? We would love to, but we don't have that control. We don't have control over how many years we will live, how many things that we will get to enjoy, how many things we will not get to enjoy. I mean, there are certain things we do have control over, and we make choices about what we get up and do every day. But the courage part is, I think, is accepting that there are limitations to what we have control over. And do I have the courage to leave the rest up to God, the things that I can't control, and truly believe that my God loves me, cares for me, and will provide everything that I need to get through the things I don't want to see and do? My wife tells me that my story is a little courageous, so I was going to tell a little bit about that, just because I trust her, and she seems to know me fairly well. But I grew up in Minnesota. Seems like a long ways away, right? And really cold. Partly why we're living here today. But I was, the reason I'm in a wheelchair was I was in a car accident in 1991 in February. And in February, if you know anything about Minnesota, what would be the first word that comes to mind? Snow, ice, cold, yes, that whole deal. So we were on our way to school. We lived on a farm. Small town. I grew up in a church much like this one. We had like 100 members, and the town was only 1,300 people, so it's actually quite a bit smaller than yours. And we had a school in our town, and so my sisters and I had three sisters, one older, two younger. We were on our way to school, and we hit some black ice, and our vehicle rolled over, and this is a nice, it was actually kind of a nice morning weather-wise. So the sun was shining. Was the sun shining? Well, the sun doesn't come up till like 8 o'clock, so maybe it was going to be shining. Well, I take it back. It was a gray, dreary day. Doesn't matter. But the bad part is that I suffered crushed and dislocated 6 vertebrae in my neck in the accident. And which meant that I couldn't move. I lost feeling and was pretty scared when I came to, because I'm assuming I was knocked out after the accident, and realized as I was laying on the floor of the van that I could not move. And also was used to wear glasses, so my glasses were gone, so everything was blurry. But definitely one of the scarier moments in life. And maybe not as much scary then because you're still in shock and you don't even know what's going on. But scary for all the people who are coming up on this accident because it's one of the roads going into town. So people are going into work and going into school. And it's a small town, so everybody knows who I am, who my family is. And it was a scary moment for everybody. I went to the hospital, was airlifted from the local hospital to Sioux Falls, and they did 17 hours of surgery on my neck to get it stabilized. And then I was 14 years old at the time, so I was a kid. And I was in the hospital for about 3 months in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is the closest bigger city to where we lived. And then I spent another 3 months, and I remember my mom and my dad talking to me about this, and there was a couple other people who had spinal cord injuries at this hospital, and they really thought I should go to this place in Denver, Colorado, Craig Hospital. And I didn't want to do that, because that would mean going another 13 hours away by driving from where we lived. And I'm only 14 years old. I don't really want to go do that. But I ended up going anyway, because my mom and dad were really, really helpful and encouraging, even when I didn't want to do things at that time. And I went there, was homesick off and on over the 3 months that I spent there that summer. And in reality, though, it was one of the best things that they could have encouraged me to do. And while it was scary as heck to go that far away from home And it went through some kind of scary situations while I was there as far as some complications. But all in all, things went well. I got to be at one of the best rehab centers in the country for a spinal cord injury and came home much more capable of taking care of myself and being independent than I would have if I had not had that extra 3 months there. And, you know, that went on as far as having encouragement from my parents for many years. And my mom was my main caregiver helping me. My dad was awesome. And my sisters were really good, too, in helping me overcome. I was the only person that was in a wheelchair in my whole high school. It seemed like there was always one, because the last person who was in a wheelchair graduated right before I came back from my rehab in Colorado. And then I went to college, which was my next scariest thing, because I was really reliant on my mom and my family for being kind of my security blanket and also helping me immensely. And I had to go to college. And I only went like 45-minute drive away. So it wasn't like I was at a college a long way, but I was living by myself in the dorm rooms, and that was scary, especially dealing with this new injury. It was only 3 years after I'd been hurt that I was over there. And again, that paid off greatly. I developed so much more independence. I got to meet and play with people on the wheelchair basketball team there. And I wasn't the greatest athlete in the world, but it was really fun to get to participate in that. And went on from there to have a career in radio. I was a radio DJ for about 15 years. I started when I was out of high school and worked part-time while I was in college, and had a radio TV broadcasting degree that I went through or got at college, and then worked at that same radio station all the way up until God started messing up my life by making me think about going to seminary. And I'll blame the pastor in the church, because he suggested I should take some lay ministry classes. And I don't know if any of you are familiar, but most presbyteries and smaller churches will support lay ministry programs so that you can have a certified lay minister be installed in churches. And it's not somebody who's gone to seminary, so it kind of saves on some expenses. Anyway, he encouraged me to take these classes. I did it. I said, I was serving as an elder in the church. I said, I will do this just because I want to be a better elder in the church. That's it. I'm not going to be a pastor. No interest in any of that. But of course, over the course of those 2 years of taking those classes, I started to think about it more and started to feel that call. And eventually, gone through those 2 years of classes, another year goes by, and in discerning with other people in the church and in different gatherings, oh man, I better go to seminary. So the next scariest move was in my life. I quit radio, which was something I loved doing. I had gone from being the part-time kid who would come in on the weekends to being the operations manager at this radio station. And, you know, all of the things that I really wanted to do, I had kind of done. And I think in many ways that was getting me ready to move on to the next thing. And I remember when I was going to seminary, I said, you know, you're going to do, I have a sense that God wants you to do something that you've never heard of, or that you would never think of. And I don't think I've gotten there yet, because I've heard of chaplaincy before. Although, before I went into a lot of the things that I had seen in my time as a chaplain, I'd never worked with anyone with cancer before. I'd never been with people as they were dying. And it was amazing, all of these different things that God was putting me into and places that I was going. And I tie this to this particular scripture, because it amazes me the things that I have seen, and that I'm actually here preaching in a church in Bartow, Florida today from Minnesota, where I lived just a little over a year ago. And it's all because I've been able to trust God and have the courage to go out and see things and do things that I never would have expected me to be able to do. So that's what I want to leave you with today. You can think about my story. You can think about my buddy at Moffitt Cancer Center, who this is his favorite scripture. Or you can think about Joshua. But think about all of the challenges in your life that God is asking you to step into. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what stage of life that you're in, or what limitations you might think you have, God has things that He would love for you to be courageous and take on. So with that, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day, that we can be in Your presence, that we can have courage and strength because of Your presence in our lives. Help us to lean into that, to trust in You, and to take courage to go wherever it is that You are leading us and leading this church. Lord, as we prepare to receive Your body and Your blood in this supper that You have created for us to be nourished and encouraged, that You would open our hearts. Let us let go of the things that we hold on to tightly and be prepared to be changed by Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.